Radnor City Commission meeting, October 22nd, 2020.
Okay. Call to order, please rise for the flag salute.
I want to send that one, I'm looking in for it.
He's got a letter.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Lisa, roll call, please.
Commissioner Kriebel?
Here.
Commissioner Langria?
Here.
Mayor Holtzman?
Here. Pursuant to the Open Public Meeting Act, adequate notice of this meeting has been provided in accordance with the law. Before we get started tonight, Commissioner Langria will open us up for a moment of silence for someone special.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. Just want to recognize the passing of Paula Finnerty this past week. She is the mother of Patrick Finnerty, one of our lifeguards, lieutenant on our beach patrol, and obviously the wife of Frank Finnerty, former freeholder. So we just ask for a moment of silence in her memory. Thank you. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Okay. So first thing on our agenda this evening is a presentation by Attorney Fred Cerny, and he will be discussing the Small Wireless Communication Facilities License Agreement with Verizon Wireless.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Commission, my pleasure to be with you. I trust that the commissioners are familiar with this issue.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to go back to the very beginning, but what you have before you tonight is a contract that memorializes a relationship with Verizon that would establish 14 locations in the municipality where Verizon would have rights to be on certain poles. That really is the substance of it. This has been worked on for a rather extensive time, and your administrator has really taken the lead in terms of the actual negotiations. But this contract came from Verizon. There were some problems with it. We revised it and have put it in what we believe is a form acceptable to the municipality. My understanding from the administrator is that Verizon is on board with this and prepared to sign it. So after council approves it, we have to go back to Verizon and lock them down on that point. But that is where we are. It's an agreement, as I said, for 14 locations. The term of the agreement is for 15 years, along with 3 5-year extensions. So if you want to extend it, that can be done. I would point out that one of the critical pieces in this goes to a provision that Verizon originally wanted in, which basically said once this agreement is signed, they could go to additional locations in the city. Pretty clearly, that's open-ended and not something that we would want. So you will find, if you look at paragraph 4A, the final sentence there is specific that this agreement is limited to the 14 items identified in Exhibit B. And if they wish any other locations, that has to come back to the commission. And that was something we added because they were trying to just expand at their own initiative. Mm-hmm. So we took care of that. In terms of things that are pretty clearly critical to the municipality, one is the funding. They have agreed and actually have made an initial payment to cover the city's expenses in this negotiation. I believe a check in the amount of $10,000 has been presented to the city to cover costs that have been incurred through our representation and other certain expenses. There is a fee schedule, Exhibit A. There is a one-time application fee of $2,500 per pole. So the municipality, the 14 times 2,500, You have not yet received that money, but you will receive it. That's a one-time payment that they make. In addition, there is the professional fees that have already been advanced. Those professional fees reimbursement would cap out at $1,000 a pole. So while you've already received $10,000, if additional professional fees are incurred, they will cover the next $4,000 also. So that is to the municipality's advantage. And then there is a $1,000 per year administration cost to basically cover those administrative things that the city would be doing to keep an eye on these poles. So that really is the substance of it. If the members of the commission have specific questions, you know, we can get into those, but this is what has been worked out with them. Like I said, they started at a different point, we amended it, and your administrator has worked with them to get them to the point where they've indicated this would be acceptable.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Mayor, if I may?
Yeah, absolutely.
So Fred, thank you for sticking with this. This has been probably 2.5 years, mm-hmm. I'll say, mm-hmm. roughly.
Mm-hmm. I would think that's probably accurate, Commissioner,
okay.
Yeah.
And I know, Maria, you've stuck with this thing too, because I went out and visited each of these sites and actually moved several of them.
Mm-hmm.
These are DAS units. I don't know if you guys know what they are. There's one right out here on Sacramento in the corner there. So it's a box that's about 8 feet off the ground and then an antenna way up on the top of the utility pole. And they're repeater units for data.
Right.
All the cell phone companies, whatever you want to call them, are going to these nowadays. So I went around and looked at all the sites they wanted to put them. And if someone had a deck in that front yard where they were going to put them, they didn't get that location. Similar to what we did with the transformer on our street here, Tim, where we moved
right.
it so it wouldn't be in front of the Abbott's house where they have an outdoor deck.
Right.
You don't want that there. So that's something we took on us, on the city, and tried to find better locations for these within their parameters. So, and we were able to do that. And Fred, I think this is great agreement. Getting them to pay for the fees was phenomenal, Maria. That's mm-hmm. just... I think that's unprecedented.
Thank
I don't
you.
Know that I've seen that happen in other municipalities.
Look, so. Dugger Hilden.
Yeah. Great job.
Dog like a bird.
Right, there you
dog
go.
Dog with a bone.
I know. Yeah.
You know, these lawyers have got to stick together.
This will be the model for other municipalities, because this is how self-service is going to go to, I think.
Yeah. I'm recommending him for next year here, too.
Oh, okay. So these are...
Tim's not going anywhere.
No, he's not.
Go ahead.
No, these are our cell service, not
it's
wireless.
Cellular data, yeah. You know, that kind of thing. It's not Wi-Fi.
Right.
Something maybe we should have added.
Yeah.
You know, provide Wi-Fi for us. But that really, we want, everyone typically has Wi-Fi in their streets.
Right.
We want it up on the boardwalk is where we want to get it.
Right.
That's the next project.
Yeah. Is there, what are exactly the recurring fees every year? You have the single 35.
So we get $1,000.
It's
$1,000 per pole or $1,000 flat?
I think that's $1,000 flat. Maria, yeah. Do you recall it differently?
Yep. Yep. There's like, remember there were regs. We tried for more.
Yeah.
There were
just
regs that govern that.
For right. our
but that's to cover later.
There is
time.
A point where you begin to collide with some federal regulations
okay.
on this stuff, and it only lets you go so far.
As long as you explored it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We did take a look at it.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
2 years.
Yeah, time. So if anything else,
I've been hearing this
okay.
for quite a long time. So
now, is there a resolution actually before council?
Yeah,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
Right after your
no, right here.
Right
yep.
after your presentation.
Okay. All right.
Well, we'll do it in the voting part of the meeting.
Okay. Subject to any questions of council, I'm good.
I'm good. Thank
I think
you
we're good.
So much.
Thanks, Fred. Great seeing you again.
Okay. Stay safe.
Thanks an awful lot, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks, Fred. Okay. Great seeing you. Thank you.
Nice man. Okay, the next thing that we will have on our agenda is the resolution to approve what was just discussed, and that's resolution 2020-360.
Do you want to vote on that now? Because I have that one for you to vote now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. we were going to
okay,
do it right
we
now.
We can do that. Yeah. That's fine.
Yeah. It's right there.
Okay. Do I have a motion to approve
Should
resolution 2020?
What's we have that? To have public comment on it?
Well, then we're going to, this whole thing gets out of line.
Yeah.
If we do, if you open it up to the public.
You do not have to have public comment, but you can always open it up if you want to.
If they want to make a comment, they can make a comment at the end, but to open it up to a public comment now, I mean, we can, but I mean, it takes everything out of order.
Yeah. I'll leave it up to you guys, so I just...
No, I think we go with the resolution, and we have two public comment sections.
After the fact, though.
After the fact.
Okay, fine. Then this resolution will get approved in the regular meeting.
Yeah.
Sure.
I agree with that.
Okay.
I just don't want to...
There you go.
Yeah. People should have a chance to comment before we vote.
And you're right, but to go into...
In case Mr. Cerny stayed for the approval, but it was moved on. But he left, so there's no point in doing it now.
Okay. I think the workshop's meant to discuss, the regular is to approve, and jumping things out of order, it gets things, we lose all that flow, so we're good, okay.
Which we've killed.
The next, the next is a presentation from Commissioner Kriebel.
Yes.
On Ventnor Echo Park and other open space projects, so I will turn it over to you, sir.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So this is a short presentation that we already have queued up. James, if you could just let me know if Karen Fitzpatrick is on the call. She said she would be zooming in or stopping by, our county commissioner. Is there a way for him to call?
Karen is on.
Karen is on?
And now she just unmuted herself.
I'm here, hi.
Hi, Karen, thanks for stopping in.
Absolutely, my pleasure. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, yeah. So we've been discussing this over time, and she's kind enough to come and sit in on this. So I'll get started, and we'll maybe have a short discussion afterwards. So first slide, please. Second slide, please. So between 2004 and 2019, according to our records, the City of Ventnor contributed $3,255,493.41 approximately to the county based on open space tax, but has really received no funding in return. Now, we realize that the rate was at one point 0.02 per hundred of assessed value that was generated millions of dollars at a time in the past, but has since been reduced in 2015 to a fraction. However, those are still the numbers that Ventnor has contributed. And what I'd like to do, and I'll bring this to the rest of the commission, is to give you some ideas about how we could potentially balance that scale a little bit more. So next slide, please. Fitness Park. Next slide. We have a location at the tennis courts, which is virtually unused. It's sandwiched between the tennis courts, the pickleball courts, the basketball courts, and it is virtually untouched all summer. Next slide, please. This is the current state of it in the entrance. And it happens to fit exactly a project which is which could be faced there. Next slide, please. Fitness court. This fitness court could also is something that would be a location. It would be an added asset to Ventnor and that community. It's already an active area. Next slide. It could be a named site. We could gain revenue from potentially sponsors of some kind that wanted to either take the larger portion on the back of the facility or smaller portions on the front of the facility. Next slide. The fitness park with the closings of gyms, the benefit of outdoors, sunlight, fresh air, social distancing. You can keep 6 feet apart during these sports. It is outdoors, which is known to be a lesser transmission of the COVID virus. Next slide. Quick video to explain really how it works. It's only 2 minutes.
That's my husband's day of mourning.
Okay, well, that's all right. Next slide. But it is an active, it is basically uses your own body weight, and it would allow individuals to use it on an app, and it would be free to the public, that park. Parklets, next slide, please. So parklets are known throughout the country as being successful in opening up walking traffic to restaurants and businesses. There are many studies that show that giving up one or two parking places actually brings more people to the location than a vehicle might. Next slide. In this COVID environment, our restaurants are fully engaged in outdoor dining. And there are some locations that are not on county roads, like this one, that would allow us to augment the neighborhood. They could bring food to eat, or we could also in this COVID environment, we could actually have restaurants. Next slide. Help us create a uniquely Ventnor parklet that would be made of IPE, which matches our boardwalk. It would have railings that look like the boardwalk. It could have a logo of Ventnor or signage for the restaurant and planners, and they could be individually based on some best practices out there. They can be broken down and moved from place to place. And they're fairly inexpensive. But again, this would be free to the public. Next slide. Streetscape improvements. So this may be a bit of a reach, but there's the Dorset Avenue is our gateway. Next slide. It sits at the beginning of what most people are 30,000 plus residents that come over that bridge in a lot of ways, coming from Philadelphia and New York. It is a county bridge. You may recognize that. However, the entrance, next slide, is in much needed of streetscape improvement. This is our this is something that could activate that business district more, and it would also act as our front door to Ventnor. And then next slide. Again, more shots of the way it exists now. Next slide. Ski Beach. And next slide. And as this is the only public ramp in Ventnor, Margate, and Longport, access for public to launch their boats. And we've and these are projects that, as Lance will probably comment, we have things in the works to do, but we're looking for help. We're looking for a little bit more balance. Next slide. This is a heavy lift. This ramp is
literally
a heavy lift. Like I said, it's the only public ramp in Ventnor, Margate, and Longport combined. We're a barrier island, and we grow. We have three cities that triple in size, and this is the only place that if someone wanted to launch a boat that they could go. Next slide. This guy will not use the ramp because he is afraid his car will get stuck because it is in such bad condition. So he walks his jet ski to a cart. Next slide. That's the ramp right now.
That's last time I was replaced was, I'm going to say, 91 or 2.
91 or 92.
I was consultant on the project.
So yeah.
Too long ago.
And this is a great park. I mean, next slide. A lot of people don't realize that there's access to a public right-of-way that has a boardwalk right there.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That was part of Crown Key's give back to the public access to the waterfront when they built those townhomes.
Right. So there's a lot of opportunity here for making this something more. We see how it can be utilized in festivals. Next slide. But there's a beautiful boardwalk there. Next slide. There's people that socially distance and gather there, which is something that the public, they needs. They need it needs access to public spaces, and you'll see in coming up. Next slide. And when I talk about the Ventnor West Eco Park,
that Ventnor, next slide, is actually one of the most densely populated cities in the county, if you take it, if you take this slide for what it's worth. We are one of the most highly populated, yet, and per square mile, we are, have some of the largest populations. So next slide. You can see how dense we are. That green space to the right is not used. It might be on our paper streets, but it's the only, not only that red section is the Wellington Plaza, but that large green section on the left is what I'm mentioning. Next slide. So this area here, which borders the Mile Stretch and Margate and Ventnor Gardens Plaza and the Bay. Next slide. For years, 1948, it was planned as a long vacant tract. It was initially proposed as residential development, later used for landfill, proposed as dredge spoils at some points. But the tract, which is has significant water frontage, has large areas of wetlands and forest that have been overgrown in the years and remain vacant. 120 acres, roughly. Next slide. So this is our tax map of the current location. You can see the condition of it now on those two photographs. It is basically not used at all. Some people go there to get glass, they pick up at the beach, but it's really more dangerous for people than it is an asset to Ventnor. So next slide. Other cities have that. New York has had the High Line, which the picture on the left shows that it was an abandoned train rail. It is now one of the most traveled assets in New York City right now. It's an amazing transformation. And that's what I'm suggesting and envision for that park. Next slide. So this is in our master plan, the idea that it could have a kayak or paddleboard launch from the upper left of that slide where there's an observation deck, wetlands and local wildlife education. It could be bird watching. It could be a short public boardwalk. It could have monarch butterfly migration stations. It could be open for fishing and crabbing. And I think most of all, for a little peace of mind and a pride of place for the local and county residents in one of the most densely populated areas of the county. Not to mention it would be a fantastic city recreational and tourist asset for the county. Next slide. Just so you get it, hopefully this video will go off. Yes. So this is looking out that entire tract of land. And that would be looking out over what could be directly down that road would be the fishing pier, and this would be sort of closer to the entrance. And then I have a pan shot of the next slide. So this is a really gives you a good overview of the whole thing. So right there at that little sandy beach on the right is where the observation deck and kayak launch is proposed. Along the front of that beach is where a walkway and boardwalk could be on the bay. Throughout that large area is where you could have meandering paths similar to what Cape May has for bird watching and monarch butterflies. And then again out there towards the far end is where the pier and fishing or crabbing piers could be. It's a huge piece of property that could be a real crown jewel of Ventnor along with our beaches if it were handled properly. And we have, I think the next, and yes, the area needs to have, has to be analyzed for use. It has some drawbacks. So next slide. It shows that in Atlantic County there are 22 other cities that there are 20 that this money is used for. As far as I can tell, there are 22 recreational areas, 3 memorials, 5 educational facilities, 30 cultural facilities or museums from AtlanticCounty.org, none of which are in Ventnor. The only thing on that roll that, next slide, that applied to Ventnor was that there are two areas in the National Historic Register from 1998, Stafford Historic District, which is a couple blocks in between Vassar and 5000, which I didn't know about. And then it's a historic area, but on the National Historic Register, and our City Hall also on the National Historic Register. But I don't know where if that's necessarily something we receive funds through. So I'm just looking for that contribution to somehow some portion to be balanced out towards some of these projects, which in our COVID environment and the costs to run a city can sometimes be pushed back and back and back. And in the case of the Echo Park, pushed back decades. Nothing has ever been really done for it.
Yep.
So that's my two cents. Thank you.
Great presentation.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you.
Tim, did you mention what kind of money?
I'm thinking of Jim Rutella, sorry.
You said Tim.
Rutella's
Maria just mentioned to reiterate that the money that's contributed, if you go back to the very second or third slide, that this is open space tax that taxpayers, residents, pay at a rate of now 1/8 of a cent, but for years it paid 0.02%, almost as much as a library.
Right.
So Karen's on board. If you don't mind, we can just talk. We can
sure
get her feedback on this.
Yep.
Sure. Great presentation, Tim. Thanks for including me. Part of my vision for Atlantic County is to develop our ecotourism, and I think the eco park that you're describing fits that perfectly. You asked me to find out how much money was in the fund, and as of the 2019 audit, it's $24.5 million is in the fund. And the process to begin the application is there's actually an application form.
Okay.
And the owner of the property, so this assumes that the property is owned by an individual, but I guess that these properties are owned by the city.
All of
them. It's filled out and it goes to the administration, and that it is basically the administration's decision whether or not to pursue purchasing the property. And I have brought a couple of pieces of property forward, just casually asking how this worked. I was denied. One of the reasons was it wasn't adjacent to any other open space. It wasn't available. It wasn't going to benefit the greater Atlantic County public, citizenry of the county, and I think that your project as being free and available to all county residents across all of those, check those boxes.
Right.
I think that the eco part is like would really be a great project for us to do. And I have difficult time seeing how that could be logically denied.
If you look back at that video and you get a sense of the amount of land that is in comparison to the city itself and how it could be as popular as some of the bird watching. Could you show that video again, Jim? As the locations that create entire economic ecosystems down in Cape May. There are people that create whole festivals and things like that around.
Absolutely, and we're talking about diversifying the economy in the county, and it's our tourism is our main industry still, and that itself can be diversified, and this is one way to do it.
Right. So the land purchase is not a question. It's really the next step for this, in my opinion, is getting the right minds on the design of it. And that's gonna have a cost associated. I don't know if he's on the call, but we have he may speak in the public portion or may have him here. A gentleman that moved back to the area that has some experience with this building park, so Bill, who's moved back to the area. and he could be a help in that vetting process. But I think we also, and then the actual, and then we would have a better grip on what the actual costs would be to do some of the features. But we wouldn't have to, the boardwalk would probably be the most expensive of the project. But it, but I mean, look at that piece of property, and how can you not imagine that being something that everybody in Ventnor and the county would be proud to have as part of their, you know, part of their outdoor life, you know?
That's cool, and they have to do everything we can to keep some corn, concrete, asphalt, with all that's left of our county. You know, we need these natural spaces.
Right.
And I think that if we were to narrow down your wish list to, I think that the boat ramp is, that's the only ramp that Ventnor Market will afford. I mean, that's
yeah.
really something that could be revenue from generating more, at least just available to the public that is safe and usable as we are in an island.
Right. Yeah.
So you need a boat ramp, for sure. But yeah. I think that this is a fantastic idea, and I'm happy to help and facilitate it in any way I can. We do have these boards and commissions, and I look for a open space advisory board. I couldn't find one, but we do have park and environment advisory board, and the freeholder liaison is Jimmy Cortina.
Okay. I know Jim.
Yeah. You know, we have, yes. All right. We can reach out to him and maybe do the same a similar presentation or focus more on the eco park is would be my
yes.
hope.
Yep.
And then he would be able to, and of course I'm more than willing to help, but
great.
He's the official guy
okay.
in that area to bring it forward to the administration. And I'm on board for sure.
Anything you can do to support it would be helpful.
Yeah, absolutely.
Karen,
thanks
Karen.
For your comments.
Thank you.
Jim, Tim, I keep saying this. Rotella did it's part of our master plan
yeah.
to do this.
Yeah.
And there's actually some concept designs down, I have the designs in my office from it. Dan Gallagher actually had brought a group that wanted to do something over there that entailed solar arrays and things like that, and that was a little too,
right.
It was early on in our first term. But I definitely like the boardwalk aspect of it. There's some bumps to get through.
Yeah.
CAFRA, Waterfront Development, those big state agencies. But
we've done it before.
Yeah, we have, and I think that's something. There's actually some funding available for what they call living shorelines.
Right.
Instead of building a bulkhead along here, they can do stuff with geoberms and things like that that can stabilize that. Because I guarantee, if you look at old aerials of this area, that shoreline in that aerial photograph right now was further out into that water.
Right.
So it's because there's no wave, boat wave restrictions there.
No.
This is where everybody with the six outboard engines on the back of their boat
yep.
crank it up, and it really erodes through there. So
yeah.
that's something we would look to stabilize as well as part of the project.
Yeah.
And there's funding for that too. So we can look for other, what I like to do is get the capital stack together.
Yeah.
All right, here's what we can potentially get from the county.
Right.
Here's what we can get from other grant funds.
Right.
From different locations, private investment. Maybe somebody wants to, an idea we had about raising funds, buy a board.
Right.
You know.
This could be like that. This could where we get it off to a start.
Exactly. Exactly.
And maybe it doesn't work on the boardwalk, but this
works
be,
here.
It
yeah.
works here because it's a beginning.
Yep.
I talked to Mosca. He'd be interested in getting Atlantic Electric.
Yep. Yep.
The climate is really right for something like this. The state attorney general is preparing for involved in a lawsuit against big polluters and to make them pay for the debt set by climate change. And this, when Volkswagen lost their suit and they had to provide electric vehicle charges to the state of New Jersey. So money like that, somewhere at the state level, that there may be money to try to mitigate the damage done by climate change by creating and sustaining more natural areas.
Yeah, that's great. I agree. If we can stack some of that capital, and Lance mentioned an idea that this boardwalk, which is a brilliant idea, actually, that if you were to build a boardwalk and have your name engraved on a board for a fee, you could have, it could potentially have a, take a chunk, take, lighten that load quite a bit.
Yep.
And it would be something, again, that you're instilling a little bit of your, you know, if it's a name or if it's a business that wants to have a section of it, that sort of thing. It could be a cove of boardwalk, and where the High Line sort of capitalized on that is that it became a place where people gathered. They have art festivals on that boardwalk now. They have, it becomes another asset for people to live, work, and play in Ventnor, and it increases the desirability of Ventnor if something like this gets off. But, you know, and obviously, and the county as a whole.
That's the start of it. I'll reach out to Jim Rutella.
Yeah.
I said it right this time, not Tim.
Not
Jim.
And, great.
And see, you know, start looking for funding from that end of it.
Yeah.
And then we'll look at the application forms to the county and talk to Jim Bertino and get on that committee.
Right.
See where we can go.
I mean, what's not to like?
No. And, you know, on Ski Beach, we did get some funding. We got just under 100K to help with that project. I think we set aside another 200 plus.
Right.
Mm-hmm. If my numbers are right. For renovations to that site, so we may already have some funding there. So I think we might want to focus here.
Yeah, this is a legacy project, something that the city can always look back on and say that we did it right for that piece of.
And it's already protected; it's green acres, so
yeah.
Right.
Most part of it's green acres. We're
right.
going to be adding to that.
Pretty, very pretty.
We're going to have to.
Great.
Great job. Thank you, Tim.
Is part of our Rossi?
Some of it is.
Because if not, whatever is. Possibly
right.
Use this version.
That's where we're trying to use it for the skate. Right. So what you're saying is that if there is parts that are not, we could use that. We could use that as a give back, knowing that this entire parcel is never going to be touched.
Yeah.
That.
Right. And I've been through that process, and that value won't be enough, but at least it gets
us. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah. All right. Great. Well, you're included in the emails.
See what happens when you open your mouth?
There you go.
That's the last part.
All right. I don't know. You need a couple boards with the law firm on there.
Cool. Good stuff.
Okay.
Yep. Thank you.
Great job, Commissioner Kriebel. I actually understood it. No, I did. It was. I really liked the fitness too, especially with gyms closing.
Yeah.
And that's a smaller. Piece of the elephant to bite, but it's all great. Thank you. Okay, do we have any department head reports?
We're not doing that. We don't have anything, Ernie, right?
Nope.
There's some on, but no report.
Okay. Yep. And we're not discussing capital. That's been discussed.
Well, we have a intro, but we're not going to discuss it. Public hearings next meeting.
Right.
Yeah, we'll introduce our capital improvement bonds.
We do not have any minutes that we will be approving. We do have two ordinances that we will be introducing. One is 2020-024, and that is authorize appropriating $8,006,820 and authorize an issuance of $7,606,389 bonds or notes to finance part of the cost. That's for the general capital. And then the next ordinance that we're going to introduce is 2020-025, and that is for utility capital, appropriating $6,064,250 and authorizing the issuance of $5,761,037 bond or note. Any questions on that? And these are backed up by the list that our CFO did about.
Yep.
6 weeks ago, am I correct? Mm-hmm. Somewhere around then, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
Is somebody behind me?
Ghost of Mayor Pass.
I thought somebody was. I could hear something. Maybe it's the.
Is that a camera?
Something.
It's the dozers on the beach.
Oh, God. Okay. Sorry.
It's not me.
No, I thought somebody. Whatever. Okay, we go with that, with those two ordinances that we're going to introduce?
Yes.
Okay, great. The next is we will have a public hearing and then the adoption of Ordinance 2020-023, and that's amending Chapter 217
and that is dealing with our resident parking permits, raising it from $2 to $20 for 20 years, and the visitors is the same.
For 2 years.
For 2 years. What did I say, 20 years? Sorry. $2 to $20 for 2 years, as well as the visitor placards will be $2 to $20 for 2 years. So, $2 is absolutely, to me, obscene that that's all we were charging.
So, we had the meeting hosted by Commissioner Kriebel to talk about parking, gosh, pre-COVID, so last winter. In talking with, you know, the traffic consultant, and, you know, we were going to spend probably $25,000, $30,000 on doing this traffic study. It was going to tell us we have a parking problem.
Right.
You're an island. There's really not a whole heck of a lot we can do to change that other than buy up property and start building parking lots. Well, whose property are we buying?
Right.
So that's the difficult end of that. So one of the things that we talked about was, you know, make the fees higher, so maybe not as many people will purchase these. Because we had almost, what, 4,000 parking permits out for 600 and change parking spaces.
I think it was more than
6,000. Yeah. Over 6,000.
Over 6,500.
Yeah. 6,500.
So it was, you know, well over the number that's actually available.
But they won't be that high anymore.
And what was happening is that any car that's registered to the property owner could get a permit.
Right.
So you're getting 5, 6, 7 of these things. There's no limit, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
To the property, so we have to find a way to limit that.
Yeah.
You know, encourage people to carpool down and not take every kid that comes to visit you to bring their own car.
Right.
You know, somehow use either public transportation or jump in a car with sis or brother and move down here that way. So I think that's really our first step at trying to address some of these issues.
Mm-hmm.
And those fees haven't changed since the 1980s.
Right.
Since they were put in place.
I said it was a
thing. Basically, it was $1 a year. Now it's going to be $10 a year.
Right.
Yes, it sounds like a huge increase when you look at it percentage-wise, but it's really not that much.
Nothing.
To get a parking permit.
Yeah.
It's a user fee that could bring in some impactful revenue to offset your
tax
rate.
That's the other aspect of it.
Exactly.
It offsets our tax rate by bringing in dollars in that aspect. So.
Right. And just in general, I mean, that's the nature of our town, right? I mean, we have to have some way of managing that volume because we triple in size. So we're not a bedroom community in the middle of not a commuter town. We're a location. So, and other cities do this to a much more more expensive extent. I'm on board.
Okay. Good. We're good with that?
Yep.
Okay. And then we will have resolutions to vote on by consent, and I'll run through them. I don't think there's much discussion.
And that's going to go up to 360 now, right? The one for Fred.
Yeah.
For
it's
Verizon.
The 360?
Yeah.
For Fred.
That's right. Hold on. Let me write that in here. 360. Okay. So the first one is Resolution 2020-349, and that is appointing Mark Dobbins off of the certified list to the title of carpenter.
Yep. Mark does a good job for us.
Yep.
He can build anything. He's going to build those parklets.
That's excellent. He's done.
Yes. The next is 2020-350, and that is extending the temporary appointment of Deanna Jackson as the court administrator for the city of Ventnor. Next is 2020-351, and that's authorizing the submission of a grant application for the local government emergency fund.
That's the CARES Act, I believe.
Yeah,
yes.
That's the that's what, $152,000.
Yep.
That is available to us. When I say we're getting all that.
Excuse me.
What, Al? That's to say you can apply.
It allows us to apply, and we have to document it.
And cross your fingers. Yeah.
And,
right. And then,
right.
Yeah.
But Donna and all of our department heads have been really good.
Yep.
With Donna's kind of coordinating it, but I know Ernie's been putting stuff in there through Ed, Chief Cahill, Chief Biagi, everybody, so.
Correct.
Yes.
And good.
I don't think it's, we don't need luck on our end. We need.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
With our dealings with FEMA, we need.
That's what I said, but I mean not with our people.
So
with what they've done and how they've tracked things.
Agreed.
That's what I'm talking about.
Agreed.
Okay, the next is 2020-352, and this is withdrawing the acceptance of the grant application for the New Jersey Department of Transportation for safe routes to school. Can Al, why are we?
I can talk about that, Al, if you want me to.
Mm-hmm.
So. Twofold. So this was the curbing, or not really curbing, sidewalks, crosswalks and things, getting our kids back to the school. not that we don't want the dollars now, it's not that we don't want to protect our kids. We found in the last 3 or 4 months that the Lafayette Avenue utilities underneath the street need to be replaced.
Oh, okay.
We have to do this work under the DOT grant within 2 years. We won't be able to do that.
Okay.
So that's the, we'll apply for it again.
Right.
And we'll look for those dollars.
We'll have to spend the time.
The second issue I have with it is, where's my bike racks?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Where's the bike racks? We're looking at 5 years since that grant was awarded, and we still don't have the bike racks.
Mm-hmm.
Not a big fan of the DOT right now.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
They're not helping us.
No.
Can we not get those bike racks? Because I think they're the ugliest design that I've ever seen.
Can we get free ones, as I say?
Can we just get normal bike racks?
Just old-fashioned bike
credit. Sorry, did I say that out loud?
Yeah, you did. Because our green team picked those bike racks. So,
all right.
So, open mouth.
I just think we should get them. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Thank you, Mr. Landgraf, for the explanation. I'm going to move on.
Give Tim a minute, because he's going to have to get his foot out of his mouth.
Change my feet.
The next is Resolution 2020-353, and this is authorizing fees for a tax sale. The next one is 2020-354, and this is authorizing participation in the electronic tax sale. These are things we do every year, so that's nothing new. The next is Resolution 2020-355, and that is authorizing the cancellation of certain outstanding Karen Fund and utility operating checks. Al, do you have an amount by any chance?
I don't have it.
That's okay. That's all right. I was just curious.
He had a list.
$10,000 added on the checks.
Okay. Thank you. I was just curious. You know, I like numbers.
Some look like parade checks.
Okay. The next is Resolution 2020-356, and that is accepting a cancellation of a tax duplication, mm-hmm. And I know what that is.
Yeah, they charged twice. They got
exactly.
The block and lot got mixed up.
Yeah.
They charged twice.
The next is Resolution 2020-357. That's amending Resolution 322 of 2020.
There, and we're going to amend that from the dais here. There's a statement in there that says outdoor. It should be all liquor services.
Right.
Serve yeah. alcohol
right.
to 1 a.m.
Right.
Not just outdoor.
No.
You need to stop serving alcohol at 1 a.m. Now, that was part of the licensing.
Exactly.
So there was a typo in there that had outdoor. So.
Right. So it's all, right?
Yep.
Okay. Thank you. The next is Resolution 2020-358, and this is authorizing the refund of $500 for a sewer connection permit that was not needed. I know that because I read it. So we're good there, Ernie. The next is Resolution 2020-359, and that is appointing a municipal emergency management coordinator and appointing a deputy municipal emergency management coordinator. So.
And that's our fire chief, correct?
Our fire chief, yes. Yes. Then we will have bills and payroll, as usual. And now we are up at our discussion items. If there's anything that anyone would like to discuss, the commissioners, this is for us. So this would be our time. I think, Commissioner Kriebel, you got your 3 minutes. No. I'm teasing you.
All right.
I am teasing you. Commissioner Landgraf.
Sure. Very briefly, as we all know, the replenishment project is moving forward. The dredge has been offshore for about a week or so now. They started moving sand on the beach. They'll move from where they are now, filling in the beach up to the pier, and then come back and backfill towards Margate and work down that direction afterwards. They've rented an office right here, the old medical office, right on Swarthmore and on Sacramento and Ventnor Avenue. So they rented space in a vacant spot, so that's great.
Okay.
They're here in town. We had hoped, and it happened. So J.C. Craig is a local engineer. She was born and raised here in Ventnor, and she's one of the lead engineers on the project. So it's kind of cool. And the female engineer, which is even cooler.
I love it. That's right.
I got to spend some time with J.C. last weekend, and she's thrilled to be working in her town and showing all her coworkers what Ventnor's like. So
must be fun.
Yeah. She's ecstatic, so it's kind of fun. And we have a good contact with her. So
yeah, that's right.
If we got a problem, I can talk to her. Like I noticed last weekend, they weren't blocking off the area from pedestrians walking on the beach, even though they weren't working yet.
But still,
the equipment's still there.
Safety,
really,
right.
So I went down there Monday morning and it was taken care of. So
good.
It's good.
Great.
So it's kind of all I have, Mayor. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Commissioner Kriebel, do you have anything else?
I've had my 3 minutes and I've...
Okay.
And a foot.
I'm good for tonight, so we'll move it to the public portion. For anyone out there in Zoom and in the chambers, this is the public portion where you can bring up anything that we are going to vote on, specifically what we've already discussed. So, do I have a motion to open to the public?
Motion to open the public portion?
Motion to...
Do I have a second?
Second the motion, and I would just like to say that I asked some people to join in on Zoom in
yes.
support of the presentation I made. If they may have some comments, now might be the time to take care yes. of that as well.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All right, so for the people in the chambers as well as the Zoom participants, if you'd like to speak, you state your name and your address, and because Zoom has brought a lot of people out to our meetings, which is a wonderful thing, but we will hold you to a 3-minute limit. So we have somebody in the chambers right now, so we will give this gentleman an opportunity first.
Sir, 22 West Drive, Margate. I would request the commission to table the vote on the parking permit fees. If you recall, Senator Kravitz says her original intention was that this was to be a service and not a disservice. It was never designed to be monetized. And if you really have the compassion to gouge the taxpayers once again, I would suggest that you do this incrementally. Do $10 for the first 2 years, $15 for the next 2 years, and $20 for the third 2 years.
Mr. Sewell, I'm struggling to see how this affects you.
I have my mother's property on the boardwalk.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, you're most welcome. And I would, you know, certainly remind this commission that had they filed an amicus curiae brief with the lawsuit that was brought by Margate against the Army Corps of Engineers, the taxpayers would not be on the hook for this replenishment.
It's not on the agenda tonight, Mayor.
No, it's not. You're going, it has
to... This was brought up by the commissioner, and I'm just making a brief comment.
That we're not voting
on. Let it go.
This is for you to speak on something we're going to vote on, not on a commissioner.
Well, once again, I wish everybody to keep in mind Kravitz's original intention.
We heard that the first time. Thank you very much. Jim, anyone else out there from the public?
There is a... Ms. Carroll, we just had a couple different questions in regards to the resolution 359. Mr. Carroll, would you like to speak?
What is the question, Jim?
The question was regarding the why the fire chief was being appointed rather than the current OEM coordinator.
I can answer that.
Commissioner Kriebel will answer that.
So in the case of an emergency, already, the way that the war room, if you will call it, works in if there's a hurricane or some other state of emergency, there is a chain of command in which the fire chief and the police chief are the sort of the last word and have the most experience in that manner. This is memorializing that organizational chart so that those individuals are the legal OEM in charge of the city when that takes place, if in the unfortunate situation that that does take place.
Thank you, Commissioner Kriebel. Anyone else, Jim?
There's no reason at all that, just to add that Donna, who handles that for years, has done a great job. She also has a number of other responsibilities within the police department. So she's balanced all of that, and this is in no way a reflection on her job.
I second that. Donna,
absolutely.
Her special events are off the chart, even in this COVID
been
period.
Doing,
so.
Yeah,
that's no reflection on that. This is simply a housekeeping, bookkeeping in case of a catastrophic emergency.
Right.
And to note, Donna's being appointed as deputy
right.
OEM.
Right.
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 Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
Okay. Practically
nothing's changing. I hope that answers your question.
Jim, anyone else out there? Okay. Do I have a motion to close public portion?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, do I have a motion to close the workshop portion of the meeting and to begin our regular meeting?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. We do not have approval of minutes. The first item is our ordinance 2020-024, and that is authorizing the appropriation of funds for general capital improvements. Do I have a motion to introduce this ordinance?
Motion to introduce ordinance 2020-024.
Do I have a second?
Second motion.
Lisa, roll call, please.
Commissioner Crevel?
Yes.
Commissioner Langria?
Yes.
Mayor Holtzman?
Yes. Next is ordinance 2020-025, and this is an ordinance appropriating funds for utility capital improvements. Do I have a motion to introduce this ordinance?
Motion to introduce ordinance 2020-025.
Do I have a second?
Second motion.
Lisa, roll call, please.
Commissioner Crevel?
Yes.
Commissioner Langria?
Yes.
Mayor Holtzman?
Yes. Next, we will have a public hearing on ordinance 2020-023, and this is amending chapter 217, which is in relation to the parking permits. So, do I have a motion to open to the public?
Motion to open public hearing on ordinance 2020-023.
Do I have a second?
Second motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, for the people in on Zoom, this is a public hearing on this ordinance only, if anyone would like to speak on this specific ordinance.
Can't see the chatting. Chat's popping.
Okay. Do I have a motion to close public hearing?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Next is the ordinance adoption of 2020-023, amending chapter 217. So do I have a motion to adopt the ordinance?
Motion to adopt ordinance 2020-023.
Do I have a second?
Second motion.
Lisa, roll call, please.
Commissioner Crevel?
Yes.
Commissioner Langria?
Yes.
Mayor Holtzman?
Yes. Next we have resolutions to to approve by consent, and they are resolutions 2020-349 through 2020-360. Do I have a motion to approve these resolutions by consent?
Motion to adopt resolutions 2020-349 through 360 by consent.
Do I have a second?
Second motion.
Lisa, a roll call, please.
Commissioner Crevel?
Yes.
Commissioner Langria?
Yes.
Mayor Holtzman?
Yes. Al, I know you're out there, but some agenda was strolling down. So can you please give us our bills and payrolls to be approved tonight?
Yes. The payroll is for this period is $516,481.23, and bill for this period is $1,915,241.01.
Okay. Do I have a motion to approve bills and payrolls stated from our CFO?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second motion.
Lisa, roll call, please.
Commissioner Crevel?
Yes.
Commissioner Langria?
Yes.
Mayor Holtzman?
Yes. I'm assuming we don't have any announcements or safety reports. Am I correct?
Nope.
Okay. Any commissioner or comment reports at this time?
I gave mine.
You got yours, and he got mine, yours, and his.
I have a few more comments.
I'm teasing. Do you have more, Commissioner Crevel?
Go Eagles.
Okay, there you go. Okay, so the next is the public comment section of our meeting for everyone out in Zoom. This is the section where you can speak on any item that you would like. You do have to say your name and your address, and then ask your question, make your comment, statement, whatever it is. Please, we are keeping it to 3 minutes per person. So, do I have a motion to open to the public?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. We are now open to the public. Sorry, I have to ban myself.
Is anybody in the audience before I go to Zoom?
Yes.
This is my number two. Good evening, everyone. I have two quick questions. First of all, Peter Kleiner, 910 North Harvard Avenue. The first one is a couple meetings ago, I brought up the question about heavy duty construction on the weekends in the summer. I would just like to keep that on the commissioners' top of minds so that we don't go into next summer without having some kind of decision. And we'll have some heavy equipment on certain individual Saturdays with the 15 weekends, so we have a chance to renew it.
can't speak for everyone. I'm comfortable to say that I think we've all agreed that we would like to bring up this issue as it regards to ice cream vendors again. We've been on this for a couple of years now. We raised the rates from $50 to $500. Just as Pat had said before, giving away the parking at $2 was cheap. We somewhat believe that giving away the ice cream vendor contracts for $500 per person is obscene as well. It's our understanding that Margate gets $50,000 a year for the ice cream contract. It's also our understanding that about 15 guys that are veterans who have been doing this for years, of which the vast majority of those people do not live in Ventnor themselves. So it's my understanding now it's $500 a year.
Yes.
I really believe, and I think the committee will support me, that we need to bring this up to a level that's much closer than what we could get on the opening of the market. So we believe that we could get $40,000 by putting out the bid. The veterans should pay something commensurate to that. Otherwise, it's an undue burden on the taxpayers to be giving the money away to people who don't live here. So I propose, and we can have further discussions, that we raise it to the first year of $2,000 per person. That would bring in $30,000 this year to the city. Maybe year two, go to $2,500, we'll bring in $37,500. And then bring it to year three, to $3,000, which would be $45,000. All those numbers would be less than Margate gets, but it will at least put us in plenty distance of what's fair to the community. And then I would say we should use that money strictly for benefits on the beach. So if we knew we were getting $40,000 a year more now than we did before, we could potentially hire, buy a new truck to clean the beach. We could put showers on the boardwalk. We could fix infrastructure. We would know we have that money. But right now, in my eyes, we're getting $7,500 a year, and Margate is getting $50,000. We're giving away $42,000 to the majority of ice cream vendors who do not even live in our city. And I think that's as obscene as $2 parking tickets.
Thank you, Peter.
Request that we consider raising the ice cream vendors so that the city gets a fair number for the product that we have.
Pete, can I just comment?
Sure.
So Peter, you'd mentioned one other option is to actually reach out to these 15 vendors and talk to them about coming together with a proposal to us where they would look at something similar to get us to that same point, that $2,500 and then $3,000 increase as we do it incrementally. So that was something I do want to circle back with you on that because I like that idea. I'm not necessarily totally opposed to what you proposed tonight. Because it does keep it in, the veterans, whether they're Ventnor residents or not, it does keep it in the veterans' pocket, those licenses. So I do want to support that. But I agree with you that we need to find other ways to increase our revenue in the community, especially with some of the shortfalls, over expenses we've had with COVID-19 and those protocols throughout the city. Just cleaning services alone have cost us thousands and thousands of dollars cleaning outdoor bathrooms and other areas for our both residents and workers. So I'm getting there. I'm with you. I want to circle back with you on the other idea we discussed because I don't remember the exact details of it, but we can do that at our next ad hoc committee meeting.
Okay. I mean, I don't want to sound like I'm not in support of doing this with a building of consensus. I just think that
Thank you, Peter.
If I can just add, it's not as though that charging more for the license means that the licensee would make nothing. It just stands the logical fact that if Margie can sell this license for the same amount of distance in beach and virtually the same island, that they are selling this license, and the purchaser of that license is still making a profit. So would the veterans, if we increase this to something that's closer to a market value?
Can I say something?
Some of the
what I, just to complete Commissioner Kriebel's thought, sorry. not to complete your thought, but a spin-off of that. Maybe when we get to these higher fees, they can be paid incrementally.
Right.
You know, you don't have to, coming up with $3,000 in that third year on May 1st might be a little difficult.
Right, and I don't think the other cities do that either. I think they have a percentage in the beginning, okay, a percentage at the end.
And that might be something that
as the season goes by.
So. All right, may I say something?
Absolutely.
Okay. As a finance person, yes, and revenue is very important. And Peter, you and everybody on our advisory committee, I know that you've worked hard from the inception of that committee. I don't have a, I understand the need to increase the revenue. However, I'm going to take offense to something right now. I want us to stop being referred, I want us to stop being compared to Margate. That's the first thing. Number two is, you know, I've lived here my whole life, and everybody in this room or on the commission, they live here. But we all know how people are with the beach. You know, I've been going to the same beach since I was 10 years old in Ventnor. You know, everybody has their beach. Everybody in Ventnor also has their ice cream man. My point is, we are a seashore town. We are a town that needs revenue, but we're also a community. We can't strip the community spirit and atmosphere that Ventnor has for a price. So I don't really care what Margate makes. We're not Margate. We never were. We're never going to be. And I don't think I want to be Margate. I don't think anybody wants to be Margate. And I think that's why most of the people that want to buy or rent are calling realtors and saying, I want to go to Ventnor this summer. That happened before COVID. So I'm going to take offense to that. I want to stop being compared to them. I want to stop being compared to the revenue. $50,000 is not chump change, but I'm going to tell you right now, it's not going to be worth the headache, and it's not going to be worth the aggravation and emotions that's going to be stirred up amongst the 10,000 year-round taxpayers and 30,000 year-round and summertime residents, because we all know what happened last time we visited this. That's all. That's what I wanted to say for the record, and I'm done. Anyone else? So I have a motion to close public portion. Mr. Cahill, that's our chief, fire chief. Yes, Chief Cahill, what would you like to say?
I just have to applaud you, Mayor Holtzman. I feel the same about the guys that are down there on the beach. I've had seen my screen down my whole life with my shop teacher, Mr. Bloom. And you knew what you had out in the summer, you had a family atmosphere on the beach. And I'm sure there's probably a middle ground where the rate can be raised at some point incrementally. But a lot of those guys are, you know, they're making their entire life as a year salary on the beach for trying. But not all of them have set their better ground or whatnot. And I agree with your boss.
Thank you very much. Anyone else out there, Jim? Okay. All right. Do I have a motion to close the public portion?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second motion.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We do not have an executive session, correct?
No executive session.
Thank you. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second motion.
Meeting adjourned.